We have Senator Curtis King in the house this morning. Good morning, Senator. Thanks for coming in. We appreciate it.
Good morning, and thanks for the opportunity to be with you this morning.
Very important things that you want to talk about today, that you want to inform us all about. We're going to be talking about a payroll tax and police reforms, two big issues that there's a lot of news about today. But let's start out with this new state employee payroll tax law for long-term care benefits. It sounds good.
Or does it?
So tell us about it. I suppose you have some major concerns about this, right?
Well, I do. I mean, the concept, you know, it may be good for some people, but not for everybody. But it was passed in 2019. And then we revised it a little bit this last session. The only way you can opt out of this, so they're going to take 0.58% if you have a W-2, starting January 1st, 0.58% of your income is going into the long-term care trust fund. Now, that's been termed Washington Cares Fund, but it's still the long-term care trust fund.
I think it's Washington caring about covering its own butt in Medicare.
Somebody said was Washington Cares and Washington Scares. But everybody's paying in. The only way you can opt out is to have a long-term care plan of some kind. And even that is kind of the definition of that is kind of up in the air. The insurance commissioner has issued some guidelines, but I can tell you, I was talking to an insurance company, a very well-known insurance company, who believes their policies would meet the criteria, but they're not sure because it's so vague.
First of all, the 0.58%, mm-hmm. You know, that may be, it may not sound like much to someone, and so they're going to be like, well, you go ahead. But
if you make $50,000 a year, it's $290 a year. I think that's the number, if I have that correct. I believe I do. But there's just that 0.58 is patterned around a whole bunch of decisions that have been made. And I believe the way it looks to me is that they were made to come up with the 0.58 because everybody's going to say, well, you know, that's not much.
Right.
So it's not portable. So you could pay into this for 40 years. And as with me and my wife, if our kids move to Iowa and they said, Mom, Dad, come out here so we can help you in your old age.
Yeah.
You know, you lose that benefit, and you could have paid into it for 40 years. If you live in Oregon or Idaho, but you work in Washington, you have to pay, even though you're not eligible for the benefit. I mean, it those kinds of things just keep going on, and that's my concern.
And there's only going to be so much available for me in the end, right?
$36,500 is the maximum that they can pay out. And then I found out this last week that the maximum they can pay on a monthly basis is $3,000. Well, we've been told by other insurance people that, you know, a decent to a good long-term care facility is $5,000 to $10,000 a month.
Easy.
So the low-income people that this is designed to help, you're going to give them $3,000 a month, but they got to pay $5,000. So where are they going to come up with the additional money? I mean, it's just those kinds of elements that have me concerned. And I truly believe that most of our citizens out there have no idea that this is coming. That in January, when they get their check, and they're, you know, there's going to be money taken out.
Yeah.
So now
you
got paid family and medical leave to coming out, and now you're going to have long-term care, Washington Cares, coming out. And there's no cap. I mean, if you make $15 an hour, you're paying 0.58. If you make $200,000 a year, you're paying 0.58. And there's no cap on how much people have to pay in. And,
you know, I think that the problem is truly the details of the policy, the lack of portability, the lack of amount of true coverage, those kinds of things. You know, I think that if because, you know, there are people out there that say, look, okay, I see if the state's trying to ease the burden on Medicare a little bit and ask me to kind of help what might be down the road, okay, maybe. But when you get what you get with this, I mean, why don't you just step outside, take $290, light it on fire, light your cigar, and chuck it away because of the actual lack of applicable impact to the average person's life. Right. I mean, it really is just a collecting of pool of money that then doesn't really help.
Well, and then you have the administration of all that money.
True that.
ESD is going, Employment Security Division is going to collect it. DSHS is going to pay it out. I put forth in the bill that we had this year, I put forth an amendment that would have given everyone another year to get that long-term care plan. They said no. And DSHS went so far as to say, we can't extend that possibility that people will get a long-term care plan, because the people that can afford it are going to go buy it, and then they won't be paying into the fund, and we need to have those higher-income people paying into this fund.
We got to have the surprise money, right? Basically, the people that haven't gotten it. Look, see this? Here's my COVID shot card, and on the back it says, I also have long-term care.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's got to have documentation.
So it just goes into very, in my opinion, very, very poorly written. The idea may be fine for some people, but it the way they've put this together, it's mind-boggling. I mean, so people that are ready to retire in the next 3 years, they're going to pay in. And they don't have a choice. Yeah. And they're going to get nothing.
Because there's a vesting period, right? You know, have to pay in for 10 years.
Yeah, the requirement, somewhere here I have it, but it's like you have to pay in for 10 years, or you have to pay in 3 of the last 6 years to be eligible for the benefit. So you got people that could pay in for 9 years.
Right.
And still not be fully vested.
Wow.
You have, as I've said, people that work in Washington but live in Oregon, and they're paying in, and they don't even get the benefit.
Right.
And then you have people who leave the state. So now, just think about all this. So you got those retirees that are close to retiring, not being able to get it. You have people that work in the state but live outside the state, not being able to get it. You have people that pay in for maybe up to years and leave the state for whatever reason. And tell me, how many, as mobile as our society is these days, the chances of anybody staying in this state, particularly the way we're going, are going to be, you know, it's just, you know, there's just all of these options that haven't been looked at. And the actuary based all of that 0.58 on all of these things happening, that those people are going to pay in but not be eligible, that the retirees are going to pay in. And then you talk of even, so we have H-2A workers, particularly on our side of the state, that they come in to help us with our crops, 25,000 of them. They're going to have to pay and then go back to the country they came from. I mean, it's...
Thanks. Thanks for the contribution.
Well, I guess...
All right, so this must switch cheese, man, with this many holes in all of this, what are your colleagues in the Senate from the across the aisle, how do they look themselves in the mirror and say, well done, people, well done? I mean, how can you even consider this?
Well, I have no idea. I mean, we've tried to point these things out, and the problem is, I mean, we have three subcommittees off of the main long-term care committee, and I'm on, I think, all three of those and the long-term care committee, and we're looking at all these changes. You know, do we allow it to be portable? Well, guess what? Because of the way the actual aerial people looked at it, if it's portable and people are able to move out of the state and take it with them, it's going to add a 0.44% to that 0.58%. So now you're over a percent. If you cut that in half, you know, it's still 22.22%. I mean, all of these things have been looked at actuarially, assuming that the people from Oregon and Idaho working in Washington are going to pay, the people that have paid in and move out of state aren't going to get the benefit. So as we look at trying to make this a better program, the cost is just going to go up and up and up.
Wow. So basically what we have now, as big a confusion and maybe ineffective final product that we have now, is as good as it gets under the money that we're allocating to it, right?
Yeah. That's right. Yeah, that's right.
Wow. All right, and, so, but it's a law. So what, I mean, you're alerting us now and others, but...
It's going to happen. I want people to be aware that, that this money's coming out of their check, and the only way they can opt out is to look at a long-term care plan. Now, the number of insurance companies that are offering these are getting smaller and smaller because they've been inundated.
Yeah,
by the citizens of this state.
They have.
There are still some out there that are working on it, but there are some now. If you're under 40, they don't want to talk to you. If and then there's others that say, well, in order to do this, you'd have to buy a full life policy of a certain level and with a long-term care rider.
I was just writing my wife, and she said that we can't afford a private plan right now.
So
comes my $36,000, I guess, right?
That's right.
Dang. What are you doing?
We bought a long-term care. My wife and I both bought long-term care plans about 15, 20 years ago.
Oh.
Yeah. We've been paying through the nose for a long time. But
Age did you buy that?
Oh.
It's going to age them today. So well, I don't mean that.
50-something.
All right.
We were in our 50s when we bought it.
Uh-huh.
And... But let me tell you, the coverage is a lot more than 36.5.
Oh, I can imagine.
I've been told, and this I haven't confirmed, but the average day in a long-term care facility is 2 years. You're there, at $5,000, you're there for 7 months maybe.
Wow.
And even that, then you got to come up with the other $2,000 or $3,000 a month that this system doesn't pay for.
What I heard was that the Democrats worked out a deal with the Coleman tent camping people. And at the end of the 7 months, you also get a small tent to move into. So there is that.
That's about right. Well, that's about right.
So as you look at this actuarially, and I asked the question in one of our committee meetings, is what was the number of people that the actuarially were going to opt out? How many were going to have the ability to opt out? And their answer was 105,000.
Huh.
Now, I truly believe that the number is going to be closer to 500,000.
If they can get that policy, if the system is such that they can grab one, but given the closing window to November and the time that it takes to get it done and all of that, I don't disagree a hair with you there, Senator, as long as the system can absorb it. The morning news continues with our conversation with Senator Curtis King. Senator, how many years in office for you as we look back on?
Just finished my 14th.
14th, man.
That's hard to believe.
So you know where the bodies are buried, where the shortcuts are, and where the good guys go to lunch. So
that's about it, At least I'm not there. So.
The buried part. We're glad for that.
That's
going to lunch with the good guys, that's okay.
That's right. Continue. Our conversation about the long-term care insurance had a couple of questions. First one was, if you already have long-term care, what do you do? I mean, can you opt out? What's the scoop of that?
So October 1st, Employment Security Division is supposed to have a form available online that you fill out. And I don't know what the form is like because guess what? They haven't put it together yet. But you fill that out and therefore apply for this exemption. They then look it over. If they give you the exemption, you download that piece of paper that shows you are exempted, and you have to turn, you, the individual, has to turn that in to their employer. And if you change jobs, you got to take that with you and give it to your next employer. That's how it's done. But it's up to the individual to get that done.
Wow.
So now we're the thing kicks in. Like you say, a lot of people don't know about this, and I'm one of them. And it kicks in, and I go, holy moly, I didn't even hear about this. Can I go out now in 2023 and get my long-term care, and then I'm off the roll?
Nope. You're done.
Once you're locked in, you're locked in.
You have to have the long-term care. Yeah. care plan in place by November 1st of 2021. Now, you don't have to apply for the exemption. You have until the end of December of 2022 to apply. But you're going to be paying that 0.58 that whole length right. of time, and you're not going to get that money back.
Right.
There are no Jeez. Refunds in this plan.
Oh, this is crazy. The other question was, I have an 18-year-old, working part-time in college. Can he opt out now, or is he stuck with the state program?
If he doesn't have a long-term care plan, he's going to have to pay.
But you're saying, hey, at 18, maybe you can maybe get one for affordable.
That I think there are plans out there at that age that are affordable.
Yeah.
And I would encourage them to look at it if they have the means by which to do it.
If people have other questions, can they call your office?
They're more than welcome. Would love to have them call my office.
Okay.
I'll give you the number.
Yeah.
It's 360-786-7626. And if there's no answer, just leave the message.
Okay.
We will follow up and we will do our level best to get an answer back to you as soon as we can.
360-786-7626.
That's correct.
All right.
Yes.
We will make that available and I'll give it to Jackson. And folks, if you just want to call us at our regular number at 972-5481 and grab that number. I suppose I could Google Senator Curtis King and find that number and find your office as well. So,
yes, you could.
You know, if you're driving right now and you can't write it down or something, just get on and Google Senator Curtis King. All right.
You know me, I have a master plan now after hearing this. So what I'll do is, since I am now, beyond 65, I will defy the law, get arrested, put in jail, and that'll be my long-term care. I'll be in jail.
Three meals a day,
medical.
Not only that, medical. But you'll be able to get a college degree while you're in jail.
There you go.
I like it.
We're going to pay, the citizens will pay for that.
Thank you, legislature. I appreciate it. All right, let's move on to something that might, maybe in its own way, is even more sideways than this.
But one more question. If you're on Social Security, do you still have to pay into that?
I don't believe so.
Because it's not coming from an employer, right?
Okay. Yeah. All right. It's not a W-2.
Okay. All right. The other issue, was these police reforms. Crazy. Yeah. I think Dave can probably play the cricket sound when I say the reaction to the Republicans' request for a special session to try to correct some of these things, not happening. I know that there's been a call for that, but it's falling on deaf ears.
If we have a special session, it'll be about transportation.
Yeah.
It won't be about police reform.
Yeah, all right.
In my humble opinion.
Tacoma has a murder. I think it was over the weekend. I don't know if you heard about this.
I have not. No.
Had a murder. A guy runs from the scene. They can't chase the guy
because
they don't have probable cause.
That's correct.
They can't send an officer to go chase this guy who might run, who then might need to be tackled by a canine or whatever because they don't have probable cause. So they can guard the body. We got the body.
And that's what they did.
I mean, they basically, we got the body and we guard
the
scene.
We've secured the scene.
We've secured the scene. But we can't go get the guy that you think, that everyone says the guy is in red coat who ran down this street.
Right.
What is going on?
Oh, believe me, that's just the tip of the iceberg.
I mean,
we could be here for, if I had all the information, we could be here for hours. We changed police tactics and what we can allow them. You can no longer use tear gas unless you have the permission of the largest or the highest elected official in your area. So the mayor, usually in a city, the mayor would have to approve that. Well, by the time you get approval from the mayor, and I can guarantee you that in Seattle, you're never going to get that approval.
That's right.
Or in Tacoma, you will never get that approval.
Right, right.
We've limited some of the equipment they can use. You can no longer go get surplus vehicles, as an example, where you can carry six or eight people from the military.
Right.
You can't do that anymore. We're limiting and watching what our police dogs are able to do. So we'd rather protect the police dog than protect the policeman's life. I mean, we've set up We've given the what is it called? The joint. There's a transfer. CJTC. And I had that this morning, but it just left me. But they're a group that oversees a lot of the other things that our police can do and how they do it. We've expanded their authority. We've developed a group that will look into any shooting, I believe, particularly any yeah, death.
Right.
And this and group will be
basis,
appointed
yeah,
by the governor. So you can imagine who is going to be on that committee to oversee all of these things. And then you look at the funding. I mean, just Seattle is a perfect example. They cut their funding. They have lost 250 officers since they started making these reforms, and they're projected to lose another 50. And not this last weekend, but the weekend before, they had 6 shootings. And the mayor came out and said, we got to stop this. We can't let this happen. We got to find more money, and we got to try and get those police officers back. But who in their right mind wants to be a police officer? We've made it easier for them to be personally sued for the things that they've done.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
we've just gone overboard because the minority community has said, well, you're arresting more of us than you're arresting whites. And it's not about, well, who's doing the crime? And if whites are doing the crime, they need to be arrested too. But it's not about who's doing what crime is being committed. It's about whether you're a minority
yeah,
or not.
Whether we have equity policing or not.
Well,
Washington
exactly.
State Criminal Justice Training Commission, I think, is
yes,
what you were fishing
for. Yes, that's what I'm looking for. Yes, thank you.
Well, and all of this is done under the flag of equity, of what? The byproduct is the criminal gets protected more than the citizen. We basically are making our law enforcement folks on the front line the sacrificial lamb of this. If I'm a cop in today's environment, boy, even the guy that sponsored the bill said, we want people to slow down. We want people to think. You know, meanwhile, my house is on fire and this guy's making off with my kid. I mean,
right.
it's so counterintuitive. Yes, if we've got problems in policing, we need to address them. This is only going to make more problems of a different kind.
And it just goes on. I mean, now you extend this to drugs now. I mean, we had a bill that they wanted to have, I think, the healthcare authority and another agency look at what is the reasonable amount that could be considered personal use, heroin, oxycodone, the 10 major that are all illegal. But what is, and it was going to make it legal. So that if you were stopped and you only had that amount on you that it was considered personal use, you couldn't be arrested. And we said, well, how are you going to get people to be treated? And the bill that we passed, it says, well, you stop an individual, if you find they have a pocket full of heroin, and you can say to them, we're going to confiscate your heroin, but we have a program available through the state of Washington to help you get off drugs. Would you be willing to yeah, go do that?
Here's
and when they tell you where to put it, you know, and walk away, that's all you can do. You can't, and then they can do that 2 times. But there's no method to keep track of how many times an individual's been stopped. And then the 3rd time, you can arrest them for a misdemeanor, which would get them in front of a judge.
If you know that it was the 3rd time and yeah, there's any way to prove it. See, now, Lance, here's the problem with that. My tolerance for heroin is much greater than yours.
Yes,
you know,
of course.
That.
Yes,
so
of course.
My personal amount is going to be a lot bigger
yes,
than yours.
Yeah, well, there you go. And there is lines of problem, man. You're joking, but therein lies the problem. Wow. All
That's
right. Well,
insane, man.
This is hair pulling stuff, Senator. And it's almost like the Republicans really have no voice.
Well,
I mean, you guys try to do things, but you're just
28-21
yeah,
in the Senate. It's 57-41 in the House.
Oh.
And a Democratic governor who just signs everything
yeah,
along these lines like it was water.
And a Supreme Court that tends to go that way anyway.
Yeah, and I like to refer to them as the not-so-Supreme Court.
Yeah.
But
that's
but
right,
they do. I mean, you know, throw in capital gains, which is an income tax, and you know, I mean, it just goes on and on. We could be here all day talking about.
So, the only way out of this police reform is through tragedy. Right? I mean, to have things happen and to have somebody go, oh, God, that was not, oh, that's
unintended.
Not what we intended. I mean.
So, 2020, the number of reported murders was the highest in the State Patrol's database, dating all the way back to 1980. Rape, highest in 25 years. Aggravated assault in 2020, highest in 25 years. The no contact or probation violation, 2020, highest recorded in their database. Assault of law enforcement officers, the highest recorded in 2020. This is what we're seeing, and you just look at, you know, I get on. You look at the paper this morning. What do they have a picture of? The insurrection or whatever you want to call it in D.C. The papers never talk about the daily things that have happened in Portland and Seattle and Olympia, and particularly in Portland on a daily basis, the riots that took place. Yep. And yep. I had somebody that went to downtown Portland recently, and they said there were more plywood windows than there were windows.
Yeah.
The parks are surrounded by a fence. I mean, this is what we're coming to in our large cities. Go look at Chicago and see how many killings they have on a given weekend. And you never hear about this stuff.
Interesting thing. There's a statistic Jackson found the other day on gun purchases in states across the country. And the number one state for guns so far this year is Illinois. And I think it's people arming up in case the Chicago thing comes their way. Something like nationally, we've had something like 22 million guns purchased because people are seeing the defund movement and are seeing the handcuffs put on police and are recognizing and realizing that they're going to have to maybe fend for themselves the way things are going in our urban centers.
And that's exactly right. And that's why. I mean, I forget the state, but I want to say it was California. If you steal something that's less than $995, they're not going to arrest you.
Yeah.
I mean,
and if you should trip over a policeman on your way out the store, they won't prosecute you.
I mean,
so,
you know, as I was telling you earlier, we got stores where people are just walking in, grabbing stuff, and walking out, and
it's happening here in Yakima.
Oh, in Yakima,
yeah, that's right.
And it's like, well, what are we doing? How do you expect those businesses to stay in business when people can just walk in and nothing's going to happen to them?
Well, what separates, you know, polite society from the rest of the world is the rule of law and everybody agreeing to reasonable rules and developing a respect, a confidence and belief in law enforcement. Yep. And when all of that goes away, then it's survival of the fittest and then it gets ugly fast.
Yeah.
So as a country and a society, we need to make rules that make sense that people will respect. And will do what they're intended to do. We need to have policies that support officers so that they're seen as the good guys protecting society instead of, you know, not the next person to throw rocks at. And our legislative activities are taking us in the exact opposite direction of where we need to go to re-cement the glue that's whole society together.
They only wanted to talk about the few people that showed up for a demonstration in Olympia. That's all we heard about.
Yeah, that's
right. They never once mentioned the the riots that were in downtown Olympia. And you know, the mayors of these cities are complacent until the group went down to the mayor's house,
to their house.
Stood in front of it and demonstrated.
That's right.
And a person was going to throw a Molotov cocktail at their front door, and an individual just happened to be there videotaping and yelled at him and scared him, and he took off. Then the mayor said, oh, police, you can come and help.
Yeah.
I mean, it's you know, it just goes on and on. It's amazing what we've done to our poor police officers in this state and in this country.
About 40 seconds to go, Senator. I guess what we count on our conservative lawmakers to do is to continue to craft better solutions and present them and hope that at some point they get some traction, right? I mean, you can't just throw your hands up. You got to continue to work on ideas and changes and shove them their way, and hopefully they'll take the bait.
And you're exactly right. That we can't give up. We got to keep fighting the fight. The challenge we had this last session was that everything was by Zoom for the most part.
Sure.
Yep. And Democrats talked to Democrats, Republicans talked to Republicans. There wasn't this give and take. It just didn't happen. And so they had agreements, and that's why you saw all of this stuff pass, is because, as an example, they rolled out their operating budget at $59 billion 2 days before we signed he died. Yep. No changes, nothing. You just accepted it, and they voted it out.
That's not the way to govern, and that's what we've stuck with in Washington for now. Senator Curtis King, thank you for your time this morning. Always good to see you. Spot on as far as we're concerned on all of these issues, and it's nice to know, as frustrating as it is over there, that we do have folks there fighting with the same ideas and the same goals that we know Yakima has. So thank you very much.
Appreciate the comments and appreciate the opportunity.